away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my children. As a mother, and again, this was a mom who wrote this, there is much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. Here's another for you. A man once told his wife that he never wanted to live in a vegetative state dependent upon a machine. He said, if I ever get to that shape, I want you to pull the plug. So she got up and unplugged the television. One last one I want to share with you this morning. Some of you can relate to that, I know. Now, this is not applicable to any of the guys here at Trinity Missionary Baptist Church, but you may know a guy. So here he is. I recently heard a preacher speaking of his efforts to counsel a man who was having marital troubles. He said to the man, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. But I don't love her anymore, he replied. Then love her as your sister in the Lord. But I don't think she's saved, he said. Then love her as your neighbor. And he replied that he didn't have any intention of being her neighbor. Finally, the preacher said, then love her as your enemy. There's no excuse. Here's one thing, church, I want you to understand this. We don't get to choose who we should love. Do you hear that? We don't get to choose who we should love. We do choose who we do love, but not the ones who we're supposed to love or who we should love. So I ask you this morning, whom do you love? Remember that name? Whom do you love? Do you love your spouse? I certainly hope so. Do you love your children? Again, I hope so. Do you love your parents? And yes, you ought to. How about your friends? Is there anyone else that you love? Love is a choice. It's our choice whom we love. And saying that we love someone without showing that love is nothing but lying to that individual. I'll explain more shortly about that.
Hello again, everybody. This song we're singing today, it's a very powerful song. Maybe you may know it. It's called God Really Loves Us. And you know, sometimes we kind of forget that, you know, that we have a friend that's closer than a brother. We have a God that loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with us. So listen to the words of the song. You know, feel free to sing along with us.
Oh,
love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father God, again, we're so grateful for this opportunity. So thankful, Father, for the word that you're going to give to us this morning. And I pray, God, again, that you would give us ears to hear what your word has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. John is the author of this book and four other books in the New Testament. He wrote this in the late 80s, not like 1980s, but the late 80s in the first century. He was a young man when Jesus first called him to be an apostle and following him, but by the time he wrote 1 John, he was probably the sole surviving apostle. John and his brother James walked with Jesus for 3 years, day in and day out, watching, learning, growing, and depending on what God's word had to say. John saw Jesus perform miracles. He saw Jesus change lives, including his own. He saw the religious leaders seek to destroy Jesus. He saw Jesus beaten and whipped and nailed to a cross. He saw the anguish that Mary experienced over her son. He saw Jesus surrender his spirit, die on the cross. He saw Jesus' empty tomb. He saw Jesus resurrected to life again. And he saw Jesus ascend back into heaven. John experienced a great deal in his life, and he is known as the one whom Jesus loved. He is worth listening to, especially when it comes to love and to fellowship. He's seen love in the person and purpose of one that he called Master, the very one we acknowledge as Jesus the Christ. And he knew fellowship through the relationship with the Son would come for Almighty God. That he can only have fellowship and relationship with Almighty God through Jesus, his one and only Son. And John wrote this letter specifically for several different reasons. Three I'm going to share with you this morning. One is to tell the fellowship that anyone could have with God, the creator of all things, the Almighty God, through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He also wrote to explain further the mighty love that God has for us, and that his love for us is unconditional. And then thirdly, to argue against the false teaching of the day that took place back in his day and is still taking place today, that of Gnosticism. And what the Gnostics believed was they denied Jesus as the Messiah. They negated Scripture. They sought knowledge above everything else. That's where they were, and that's where we see them today. And in this wonderful book, we find great truths and great promises for us to claim today. In chapter 1, verse 3, we can have fellowship with God through His Son. That is a promise that He has given to us. In chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess to God our sins and repent for them, that God will gladly forgive us of those sins. In chapter 2, verse 1, the one who stands in the gap for us with God is Jesus Christ. In fact, He is intercessing, He is praying an intercessory prayer on our behalf this morning. In 2, verse 18, that the Antichrist are nothing new. These people who claim that they're the Savior, that they know it all, it's nothing new. It's been around for a long time. In chapter 3, verse 1, because of God's love, that we could become His children, that we could call Him Daddy and know that He'll provide all that we need. In verse 10 of chapter sign of who we belong to. Chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is God who is in us as Christians than the evil one that's in the world. In 4:18, that perfect love casts out fear. In chapter 5, verse 2, that loving God means keeping his commandments. In 5:14, that God hears and answers every prayer that his faithful children make. Every prayer that we make, he hears, he listens, and he answers it. There is so much to be learned in this letter that we know as 1 John. But this morning I want to describe to you the heart of God, if I can. The basis for all that he does, the motivation behind what he does, and the reasoning as to why he does what he does. This morning I want to share with you love. Love God's way. For God is love. And for anyone to truly love, we've got to know God. I can't love you the way I should without God in my life. You cannot love anybody else as you should without God in your life. The heart of God expresses his love always. In everything that God does, there is love that compels him to do that, even when it comes to disciplining us. Because he loves us, and he wants the very best for us. God's motivation in dealing with us is that of love. This book, the Bible, is founded upon his love. Again, God's love is unconditional. That means even those who we think don't deserve it have every right to God's love like we do. And let me just share this with you. We don't deserve it either. God's love is best demonstrated in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus demonstrated his unconditional like this. Those yelling and mocking him when he stood on or was nailed to that cross, Jesus said to them, I love you. The soldiers who beat him until his eyes were closed, swollen, he said to them, I love you. Those who hate him, even though he gave his all, Jesus tells them, I love you. Those who confess him as Lord and Savior, yet live the way they want to live, Jesus is saying, I love you. And those who don't have any time to pray, no time to read God's Word, Jesus is still saying, I love you. That's the kind of love that God desires for each of us to have for one another. Look back at verses 7 and 8. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who is loved, who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, I understand that we cannot make another love someone. I can't make you love me and you can't make me love you. But God can enable us to do that if we're willing. So the question is, are we willing to love the way God wants us to? Are we willing to love others the way God loves us? I mean, love can mean a lot of different things. It means swallowing our pride. It means relinquishing our rights. It means giving up our time to those who appreciate it as well as to those who don't appreciate it. So do we care enough to share Jesus, or are we too busy? Do we love him enough to read his word daily, or do we not have time to spend with him? Love is also confusing. I love Stacy, my wife. I also love fruit salad. And I love my Sunday school class. Now, I could go weeks and even months, and lately it's been like years since I've had fruit salad, but I can still press on. There are days that I go without communicating with anybody in my Sunday school class, but I can still go on. But I tell you, when I come home from work, I love to see my wife there at home. I love to see her when I get up in the morning, and I love to see her when I go to bed at night. But it's the same term. L-O-V-E, love. But it's different. Again, this morning, I hope to demonstrate the importance of love and love God's way. I just have 3 points this morning, and I promise you'll be out of here before midnight. Love God's way is established through sacrifice, it's demonstrated through conduct, and it's confirmed through security. And the first point again is, love God's way is established through sacrifice. Look again at verses 9 through 10 in your Bible. God is where love begins. this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So does the world outside recognize that we belong to Jesus Christ because of the love that we share with one another here and the love that we demonstrate to those out in the world? You see, the greatest advertisement that Trinity Missionary Baptist Church could ever have is not a minute slot at the Super Bowl. It's not a full-page ad on the News Argus, if in fact that's still being delivered today. It's the love that we have for people. That is the greatest advertisement that we could ever give. The love that we show people within our church, our guests, and those that are around us. How do we demonstrate our love for God and each other? Jesus tells us in John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We show our love to God by doing what he says to do and by not doing the things he tells us not to do. This book of 1 John tells us the facts of love. It tells us that keeping God's word is the proof that we love God. It tells us that when we love our brother, we will love without stumbling. It tells us that we are not to love the world or the things of the world. It tells us that we cannot love the world and love God also. It tells us that God's love prompted